Faithfulness, hymn number 130. We'll sing all the verses, and you can remain seated as we sing. We've asked Brother Wade Austin to open our meeting with prayer. Brother Austin.
Our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be your blessed and holy name. And dear Father, we're so thankful for your watch, care, and keeping over us and the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Especially are we thankful for an understanding of your plans and purposes. We're thankful for the opportunity of running for the prize of the high calling and the fellowship that we enjoy in that hope and in the faith that we have. And we're thankful that we can gather here this weekend with our brethren, those of like precious faith, to worship together and to hear lessons from your word of truth and to discuss those and share with one another the love that you've shed abroad in our hearts and the love for all of mankind that you've exhibited in that exceeding great and precious promise to our father Abraham, that in thee all the families, in him would all the families of the earth be blessed. And in the seed of that promise, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for that unspeakable gift. And so it is, dear Father, that we come together this weekend to sit at the feet of Jesus, as it were, through the ministers that you've provided for us this weekend. And we pray a blessing upon every heart bowed before thee and those who will be able to attend. Help us, dear Father, to be edified by the messages that we hear from your word of truth. And again, with grateful hearts, we leave ourselves in your care and keeping and asking a special blessing this evening upon our brother Bob Carnegie as he ministers unto us and opens this convention, and upon the others to follow this evening. We ask it all in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.
It's a venerable tradition with the Los Angeles class that at the annual convention, we ask one of our elders to give an address of welcome. And this evening, we're privileged to hear from our brother, Robert Carnegie, who is going to give us the address of welcome. Brother Carnegie.
Thank you, Brother Larry. The good news is this address will be short. It is indeed a great privilege to welcome you, dear brethren, to our fourth annual Los Angeles Memorial Day weekend convention. Brethren, when we inherited this convention weekend from the brethren up north, who for so many decades had held the Asilomar Convention, we made some determinations. We wanted our convention to stand for something specific. We wanted the theme text to play a major role in the convention, and therefore our programs featured many assigned topics in line with that theme. And we wanted to be old-fashioned in the sense that we didn't want the convention to be just about us. So we made a public meeting where we share the truth with others a prominent part of this convention. I remember the days when I first came into the truth, when you almost couldn't go to a convention where a public meeting didn't take place. And we wanted to put attention on the major issues of the day, not hide from them or pretend they don't exist. And perhaps most of all, we wanted to do what little we could to encourage the end of the divisions which have so characterized the last 30 to 40 years of the church's earthly sojourn. And so our first convention in 2003 had as its theme text Psalm 133:1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And we had a panel discussion, which has become a kind of tradition at this convention. And the question was, what can we do to bring the brethren back together? And in fact, all our panel discussions from then until now have addressed in one way or another this critical question of how can we continue professing to be the children of God, who according to Jesus have as our signature commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. How can we profess to be Christ's followers and continue driving past each other in opposite directions on Sunday mornings as we head to separate meeting places because we just can't agree on where to draw a line on a chart or who's going to be an elder? And how can we profess to love God and at the same time have a speaker's list that is, in essence, a blacklist and only permits those to serve us who agree with us to the nth degree? So we weren't in danger of teaching one thing and practicing another. We had a number of business meetings where we expanded our own speakers list to include brethren we hadn't permitted to serve us for, in some cases, 30 years or longer. And brethren, these weren't easy business meetings. But by the Lord's grace, all of a sudden, we had Ken Rawson, David Duran, and Art Jesuit at our first convention. And they were such a blessing, the class had more meetings on the subject and further expanded our speakers list. And in following years, we heard from Bob Gray, Wes Kramer, and Rod Hugelman. And this year, Rick Cunningham and Larry McClellan, all new to our platform. And our panel discussions continue to be a kind of summit meeting among brethren who usually don't get to talk to each other, at least in public, about the major issues of our day. It is our hope that throwing brethren together in this way will open up the door to the possibility that one day we can all be together again as we once were, before very big issues were made of very small points. And when certain brethren put their need to lead meetings ahead of meeting with all the brethren. And while we stressed unity at our first convention, at our second convention in 2004, we were careful to emphasize that it cannot come at any price. We must acknowledge the role of that faithful and wise servant, Brother Russell, in our coming into the truth, and the fundamental doctrines we all share in common, our Lord's return in 1874, the proper understanding of God's covenants, that the new covenant belongs to the next age, while the Abrahamic covenant belongs to the church, the church's share in the sin offering, and the timing and manner of the resurrection, not rapture, of the church. We had assigned topics on all these subjects. Then in 2005, our emphasis shifted to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, lest we become unbalanced and look too much to anyone other than him. We're not following a man. We are following our Lord. And we asked the question that year in our panel discussion, what does Jesus think about the divisions of our day, and what would he have us do about them? And this year, we have tackled the challenging theme of the morality of the new creation. The Apostle Paul characterized the days in which we live as perilous times. Jesus said it would be a time when, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Jesus also said it would be a time when the love of many would wax cold because iniquity would abound. And it is toward these thoughts that we have dedicated this edition of the Los Angeles Memorial Day Convention. In a popular TV show where the lead character often visits a psychiatrist for therapy, he said this year when he was having trouble with his wayward, misbehaving son, "Could you just give me some practical advice? Just for once." That's a great line. And that's what this convention will be about: the practical application of Christianity in every aspect of our lives, with our family, our friends, our work environment, our ecclesia, husbands, wives, children. And there have been, sadly, some examples of late, and in our very own area, where it is obvious instruction is needed along these lines. There is no room for the excusing or acceptance of immorality because it occurs among us or with our own. And as the standards of the world change, and they seem to be going downhill on a daily basis, we cannot lower our standards. Indeed, these are perilous times for the church, as more and more the principles of right and wrong are turned on their head, and to even take a stand on the side of God's laws regarding human conduct is to be called a bigot, a hater, or worse. And we've done one new thing. You'll notice on your program that we've included the manna text that goes with the theme text. So our theme text is really not just the text, but the manna comment and the text. And the first sentence of that manna comment is, "If any man consider that he has attained a satisfactory spiritual state, from that moment he may date the beginning of his spiritual decline." And we wonder if this were really taken seriously, and we possess the humble perspective on ourselves it enjoins, perhaps there would be a greater effort to tear down the walls between the brethren, which walls seem to have been largely built because some have been so certain of how satisfactory their spiritual attainments are that they can make their views the yardstick by which others are measured as worthy or unworthy to meet with or serve. May God bless us at this convention as we sit at the feet of Jesus and our Heavenly Father and learn of them. And may it help us yet more and more to live a life that is in accord with all that we profess. Welcome, brethren, to this convention.
Thank you, Brother Carnegie, for an inspiring, welcoming address. We appreciate it very much, Brother Robert.